you are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenzi. Went to the program to put some money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Television Network. We had a full house on the program today. It's bowl season. Mark Lawrence steps up at InPlaybook.com's Mark Lawrence. We break down Saturday's bowl games. We talk a little NFL football with Mark. We talk about tonight's big basketball game in the city of brotherly love, Temple and Villanova. Dalton Deldon steps up at Yahoo Sports. Fantasy guru, one of the best fantasy football guys in the business. Dalton Deldon joins us on the program. Help us navigate our way through week 15 NFL DFS. And we got the king, Scott Engel. All right. Not off. We have royalty on the program. Fired up for the king, Scott Engel. We'll talk Seattle Seahawks. Get his take on Nick Foles. Talk a little fantasy football and more. A lot of stuff to get to on the program, so let's get right down to business. You know what? It seems like just yesterday, doesn't it, that we were talking about Deshaun Watson and whether he was going to be an NFL star or not. NFL general managers weren't in love with Deshaun Watson. You know, we were wondering, you know, Mitch Trubisky, he's young, he's raw. How's he going to look in a National Football League? And, well, it looks like Deshaun Watson has the potential to be a star. 1 month doesn't make a season. Mitch Trubisky's sort of shown some potential. Deshaun Kizer doesn't suck, but he's not ready to be playing right now, and it could ruin this kid. But as incredible as it is, don't look now, but the stories are already starting to pop up about this year's quarterback class and where we go in this year's class. Now, Sam Darnold came into the year getting all the hype, USC Trojan quarterback, and he very well might still be the number one quarterback taken in the draft. Yeah, did he have a great year? No. Did he have a bad year? No. I think the expectations were a little bit high for Sam coming into this year, and people didn't realize that he lost a lot of talent. I mean, Juju Schuster here on the Steelers, he could be catching passes right now in college. What, you know, how would he look there? You know what I'm saying? So Sam Darnold lost some guys. People are talking about Josh Rosen. I'm not in love with Darnold or Rosen at the NFL level. I don't think Darnold's going to be a good NFL quarterback. I think Rosen has the potential to be like the next Eli Manning type of guy. You know, they're talking about Josh Allen. The guy I like is Lamar Jackson. I'm a big Lamar Jackson fan. I think Lamar Jackson, you know, fits the new systems in the modern NFL more than any of these other guys, which leads me to a guy that, you know, there's been a lot of talk about this guy. And I'm talking about the Heisman Trophy winner here in Baker Mayfield. You know, who is Baker Mayfield? I feel like we're doing a PBS documentary right now. Who is Baker Mayfield? Baker Mayfield went to Texas Tech and decided to transfer to Oklahoma, and the rest is history. Baker Mayfield, I used to look at Baker Mayfield like a Johnny Manziel type. You know, yeah, you run around, you make some plays. You drink a lot off the field. You got tackled by the cops. You got a big mouth. You've got attitude. Whatever. I did all the above as a kid. I did worse. I look at Baker Mayfield now. I see him more. He's still kind of, he's very passionate. And, you know, giving the fingers to fans all the time, that's got to stop. But he backs it up on the field, man. He's incredibly accurate. He's got a great deep ball. He's mobile. He's, you know, Johnny Manziel, and I met Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel's a nice guy, but Johnny Manziel was good at football, but he only played football to get laid. You know what I mean? Like, Johnny Manziel, it was just sort of a tool for him to party and be a celebrity. You know, case in point. Like, Johnny's about, like, look, he looks like a fan. Like, Johnny's just a good guy, that, you know? Baker Mayfield's the type of guy that if you're playing table tennis with, he wants to beat you. He's that guy. He's that alpha male. I want to win no matter what I do at any time. And he's a hell of a football player as well. Some people think, oh, he's going to be the next Manziel. He's going to be a bust in the NFL. Others are saying, no, this guy's going to be the real deal in the NFL. And I guarantee you, I don't know what's going to happen with him in the NFL. I'm pretty good with predicting this stuff. I think Lamar Jackson's going to be the best one. But I've got high hopes for Baker Mayfield in the NFL. And if anyone asks you where you think Baker Mayfield's going to go, tell them Morenci tells you he's a first rounder. And this guy might go in the top 10, top 12, top 15 type of deal, maybe higher. The combine's going to tell us a lot this year as far as quarterbacks are concerned. But I'll tell you what, We got a pretty good class coming into the year this year. And that's the thing I like about Baker Mayfield, and I like about the Oklahoma Sooners. I think Oklahoma are going to win the national title this year, and Baker Mayfield's going to carry them there, and he's going to break that Heisman curse. There's a lot of bad quarterbacks in the NFL this year, but hang tight, guys. There's some good ones coming next year. Game Time Decisions continues.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues, and it's a great time of the year. You know what? One thing that I really need to start doing is start to practice what I preach. I should be a politician because I don't practice what I preach. But I've been telling people for the last couple of weeks, guys, you got to be really careful with the early bowl games and, you know, manage your bankroll. Don't go too crazy with some of these, you know, stupid, ridiculously named games between 6 and 6 teams. And here we are. We're a little about 72 hours or so away from kickoff to the bowl season. And I freaking love the card Saturday, man. Like, I'm looking at these games. I'm like, man, I like that game a lot. I like this game a lot. Oh, I like this angle. And here we are coming out of the gate. And, yeah, so throw everything I said. Go all the way in. We're gamblers. Let's party. It's the holidays. And let's try to build that bankroll and say, you know what, you can you know, all those jewelry commercials and stuff during these football games. You can have some money to buy some jewelry. All right, let's bring in Mark Lawrence. He's going to help you get some bling. Mark Lawrence, playbook.com, steps up and in and joins us. How you doing, Mark?
Also known as the gemologist this time of the year with the bling and the jewels and whatnot. And I'm like you, Gabe, exactly. It's just like same thing as March Madness this time of the year. You kind of want to be patient. You want to kind of wait for the right things to do. But when March Madness comes and that first week of games comes, you're knee deep in just about every game on every side.
Yeah, you know, you got to be careful. March Madness, I'll be honest with you, it doesn't happen to me often, but it happened a few years ago in Vegas when I lived there, actually. I came swinging out of the gate, March Madness, Mark. Oh, I'm going to be disciplined. Yeah, that lasted until about the halftime of the first game. See what I mean? I was like, you know what? I'm going all in, man. And I was like, oh, I love this game. And so it was a party. It was like a big roller coaster. Everything was great. I swear to God, Mark, it was day two, Friday afternoon, after the 2 o'clock slate or so. So essentially, you know, at about 6 o'clock Eastern time on Friday, after 2 days of college basketball, I was out. Like, I was out. Like, I lost everything. It was that bad. And, you know, I've been there before. Like, you know, I've gambled a long time, man. But I have. You got to learn the lessons. You just have to.
It was tapioca. I've been there before with you, Gabe. I remember going to Vegas with my best friend many a time. And we go out maybe once a month or so. And I got to be so mad when, you know, we'll take our bankrolls. And my stuff went bad and his stuff went good. And all of a sudden, his pockets are full. And I'm sitting there looking to borrow a couple of bucks. Feeling really bad, wondering what am I doing in Vegas right now. But that's all part of the learning process. And like you just said, you got to kind of look at the games, look for the best looking games, and make those your main plays.
Yeah, I've been on a lot of planes to Vegas. There's a lot of optimism and a lot of smiles. We're going to do this. We're going to win that. We're going to beat this. and then, you know, the flight on the way back from Vegas, usually pretty quiet. There's usually like one guy. You can always sense the winner. Everyone's all beaten down and quiet and looks like, oh, God, I hate life. And there's always like one or two dudes, and they're usually like, you know, really refreshed looking, and, you know, they're just smiles and they're ready to go. Those are the guys that won 14,000 at the table. Those are the guys, yeah, great time in Vegas. So with that being stated, let's jump in right now. And I like these games a lot, but at the same point in time, you got to manage your bankroll, guys. There's 41 games. It's the start. You know, we're talking about it'll be December 16th when this starts, going all the way to what, like January 7th or 8th or whatever it is, with the national championship game. So we've got to pace ourselves. Remember, it's a marathon, not a sprint. But with that being stated, I do like the games this Saturday. Let's start off with the New Orleans Bowl North Texas and Troy, a couple of former Sun Belt rivals going at it, Mark.
Yeah, this is going to be a good football game. These are two teams that really played good football this year. Troy was expected to be real good. They delivered the goods. North Texas was arguable, but they stepped up and delivered as well. They know each other really quite well, as you say, former conference rivals in this football game. I think this is a good football game to kick off the 2017 bowl season.
You look at the number feels a little bit high. Troy probably is the better team. We know they have the better defense. They have the best red zone defense in all of college football. We know that, and we know that North Texas's defense isn't great, and that's being nice. You know, they're not good, their defense. But their offense is explosive. It can score on anybody, including I think they can score on Troy. To me, this should be a higher-scoring game in which, you know, whoever has the ball last wins. When you talk about bowls, Mark, enthusiasm has to be a factor, right? Bowl teams are enthusiastic here. These Sun Belt teams love winning this New Orleans Bowl. This is their bowl game. But you can't tell me that a Mean Green team gunning for 10 wins aren't going to be fired up either. So both teams are going to be enthusiastic. It's indoors. There hasn't been a long layoff for these teams since they played their last games. There's no reason why I don't see this gets over 62, and I like the +7.
I like the dog in this football game as well with you, Gabe. We pointed out in the College Football Bowl Stat Report, which is a football publication we do every year that covers every bowl game, that Conference USA bowlers own the best record in bowl games going back to 2011. They're 22-11 straight up, 20-12-1 to the spread. That's teams out of the Conference USA. Number one, better than all other conferences. That's where North Texas resides. And I'll also bring out the fact here that the Green comes in here after losing the Conference USA title game. And I'll point this out also, that dogs getting around a touchdown or better off of conference game losses have been outstanding in bowl games. I'm going to be with the Green in this game as well.
Yeah, the Mean Green put 52 points up on Army. And we know Army's defense is pretty good. You mentioned sort of Conference USA, best bowl record, something to keep our eye on guys coming into this. And I'm looking, we have quite a few Conference USA teams actually playing on the card here on Saturday, including Western Kentucky. So the Hilltoppers are laying 6.5 here against a Georgia State team. Georgia State come in here. It's interesting. They're very efficient throwing the football. You figure if you've got like the 19th most efficient passing offense in college football that you'll put up a lot of points up on the board, but they don't score all that much. You know, it's surprising. Georgia State only scored 19 points a game. They give up 25. Hilltoppers score 26, and they give up 26. Pretty much a 500 team across the board here. But when we're looking at enthusiasm, and this is the Auto Nation Cure Bowl in Orlando, you know the Panther football team is going to be excited to be in this bowl game, and they're going to be all fired up, and they can throw the football. You know, I'm looking for enthusiasm in the bowl, and I'm looking for a good quarterback, and Cooper Manning's a good quarterback.
Well, with Western Kentucky, this is a football team a lot on name and reputation. When Jeff Brohm left the program, they really disappeared. They became invisible offensively. Georgia State, if they've got an Achilles heel, they own the worst red zone defense in all of college football. They can't stop teams once they get into the red zone. That's been their Achilles heel, like I say here. The Hilltoppers have dominated the Sun Belt also. They're 14-3 to the spread the last 17 games against teams out of the Sun Belt Conference here. And we talked about those Conference USA bowlers, Western Kentucky being one of them. When they take on 500 or worse teams in a bowl game, they're a perfect 6-0 to the spread. I'm going to lean to Western Kentucky here. I don't like laying points in these minor bowl games early here, but I'm going to stay away from Georgia State and that horrible red zone defense.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, the defense, you know, Mark, they gave up 30 or more points five times this year. You know, Western Kentucky have been money burners, though, guys. They're 3-9 against the point spread on the season. They are a better team, and they're going to have much better talent on the field over the course of 60 minutes. I look at this football game, Mark, and I think the total's way too low at 51.5. Now, you just mentioned that red zone defense of the Georgia State Panthers. You know, the quarterback, I would expect them to score more than 19 points against Western Kentucky. And you know Western Kentucky, you're going to get theirs. I think the number's too low. I think this game goes over the number. Weather's not a factor. It's in Orlando.
Well, Georgia State also has been pushed around all season long. They went up against three other bowl teams this year. They were crunched in all three games, lost straight up to the spread by an average of 165 yards a game in those contests. So Western Kentucky will find their offense. They probably will find the end zone here as well. I agree with you. I think this looks like an over game as well.
I was only really looking at the total here, but you're starting to sell me on the Hilltoppers.
Yeah. Well, not strong. I'm just going to stay away from Georgia State. You know, we like to make cases sometimes for big, ugly dogs. Georgia State does not fit that criteria. I know, like you say, they're thrilled to be here. There's no question about that, but they've got an awful lot of holes.
Yeah, enthusiasm will only take you too far. It's so far. It's a good thing to have, but, you know, Western Kentucky, it's not like they're not going to be into this game either. They want to finish with a 7-6 record in Sanford's first year there. All right, this next game, to Las Vegas Bowl. I'm looking forward to this football game. This time, you know, I'm looking forward to watching this one. We got Boise State taking on the Ducks of Oregon. They're 7-point favorites. The Ducks are. Total's 59.5. You know, normally I'd say, you know, they lost their coach. It's a weird spot that they're in right now, but it's not an interim coach. Mario Cristobal's got the job. And even though I disagree with the kids running the place, you know, all the kids wanted to hire him. That's good for you, but the kid, you're not going to be here in 2 years. So, you know, I can't let the kids decide who the coach is going to be at the collegiate level. But without being stated, the players and the entire team clearly liked Mario Cristobal enough for them to sign a petition to make sure that he was in consideration. He gets the job. He's got former head coaching experience with Florida International, so he's not overwhelmed by making in-game decisions like some guys. Oh, I've never made this decision before, whether we're going to go for it or not. So, you know, and you got Boise. I don't know. I think Boise might be the worst 10-win team in the country. But to me, this game comes down to the quarterback. And, you know, the Oregon Duck quarterback, Justin Herbert. This is unbelievable, guys. You know, Justin Herbert started 7 games. In the 7 games that Herbert played, the Oregon Duck offense averaged 52.1 points per game. 52 points a game. Okay? That's like more than Mariota and those guys used to put up even. 52 points a game.
The highest in the country.
Yeah, highest in the country. I didn't know that. So highest in the country. Without him, they only scored 15 points a game. All right? Justin Herbert's playing in this game, guys. And if you saw him play in the last game in the Civil War, he's the real deal. I hate laying points, but I tell you what, Mark, I think Cristobal and the Ducks put the country on notice that, hey, next year, watch out for us. We're back.
I can completely see exactly where you're coming from here, Gabe. They're excited to have him signed on as a head coach. Herbert's back. This football program is geeked up. There's no question about that. Two different teams completely with him behind center. But I have to look at the other side of the equation here. Look at Boise State and what they've done. This is their 16th straight bowl game. They've been here. They've done that. In the second half of the football season, they ignited. They outstated their opponents. They won the stats an average of 102 yards a game in the second half of the football season here. And as bowl dogs, when they own a better than 750 record like they do here, they're a perfect 5-0 to the spread. Now, if there's finger pointing at Oregon, we can point at the fact that they're the worst team in the country in penalties per game. They kind of play a little sloppy, undisciplined type football at Oregon. Do the Ducks? That could well have been a Willie Taggart thing, and
exactly.
Not so much a Mario Cristobal.
Yeah.
So that could well have worked. But I'll say this also: they went up against 8 bowl teams this year. They went 3-5 straight up against the spread and in the stats. But a lot of those holes again were without Herbert. Cristobal in his career, when he's been favored by more than 3 points against 250 or better teams, he's 1-10 to the spread. Ooh. So you got some negatives here against Oregon. You have to watch out here for. But don't be surprised if Oregon comes out just juiced to the max out of the locker room here. But I still got to give Boise State credit. They're a completely different team the second half of this season.
Well, that's what makes it a good bowl game, though. You can
yes,
make a
does.
Legitimate argument for both teams, and that's what it makes it a good number, that you can make an argument, I'll lay the 7 or I'll take the 7. You know, you really can. I don't think, you know, it's crazy talk. I like Cozart better than Rippon. I like the mobility factor that he brings to the table. And I don't want to sound generic here, but, you know, if they're putting up 52 points a game with Herbert and the total's 59, Mark, I kind of it's hard not to like the over. If I got one team that's averaging 52 points a damn game.
Yeah, they'll take care of their end of the deal. There's no doubt
about
that.
Like, are Oregon not getting the 45? Like, come on. They're getting the 40, 45, aren't they?
I would think they will.
So Boise, Herbert, it's up sure. to Boise what they get to. I could see Boise getting to 38, 35, 38-ish. You know, like, I think the game goes over right this next game. Let's kick it, you know, OK Corral style, Doc Holliday. Marshall and Colorado State. So you mentioned Conference USA since 2011. Conference USA on the best bowl record of all FBS conferences, going 22-11 straight up and 20-12-1 against the spread. And now we compound this with a Conference USA team who are just they're kingpins. How do you like that, Mark, for bowl dominance? They're kingpins. They're like the Pete Weber of college bowls. As the Marshall Thundering Herd on an FBS best 10-2 bowl record, all right, with a minimum of four appearances. Current coach Doc Holliday, 4-0 straight up under Doc Holliday. We are Marshall. They live for bowl games. They always have a chip on their shoulder. And I got to wonder about Colorado State's enthusiasm level. They've played in this bowl game in the past. There's no sexiness in going to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and especially if you play on this field every 2 years, it's in your conference. And I think the kids from Marshall, listen, if you're in Huntington, West Virginia, you're happy to go anywhere, okay? So I think Marshall come in as the fired up live dog here, Mark.
Yeah, getting out of Dodge is really, really big for Marshall. There's no question about that. I think they are thrilled about being here in this bowl game here as well. You mentioned their success in the postseason. 11 bowl games. They're 10-1 straight up into the spread. And they also did that before they were an FCS football team. They dominated in the postseason as well. This is a mission dog. When I call a mission dog, Gabe, what I mean is last year they had a rare losing season. They come back this year on a mission, and they made it all the way to a bowl game. Seven teams did that, by the way, this year. This is a big year for mission dogs in bowl games. We'll be hitting on these as we go further on down in the bowl schedule. Marshall being the first of those mission bowl dogs here. The Rams have lost 14 of the last 20 bowl games straight up on the scoreboard. They were 0-6 against the spread their last six games to end the football season here, and they allowed season-high yards in three games this year. I think the wrong team's favorite here. I like Marshall with you in this contest.
Yeah, we got 2 7-5 teams. So Marshall 7-5, Colorado State 7-5. One of them's 8-4 against the spread. The other one's 4-8 against the spread. And I'm getting 5.5 points with a team that's 8-4 against the spread against a team that's 4-8 against the spread. Let's simplify things for people. We are Marshall. Give me Marshall. All right, quickly on this one. We don't have to bust it down. I got Merrill coming on tomorrow. We'll continue the bowl talk. MTSU and Ark State, just quickly on this one, Mark. I think Arkansas State are clearly a better football team.
I think they are, too. Look at Middle Tennessee. They've lost straight up into the spread their last four bowl games. They're number 121 in the country in net turnover margin. Terrible turnover team are the Blue Raiders here. And the Red Wolves, 3-0 straight up in ATS. They have owned Middle Tennessee State here. I like them. They're the much better football team.
How about this? The Blue Raiders, 1-4 straight up and against the spread against bowl teams this year. 2-8-1 against the spread versus bowl teams the last 2 years. And Middle Tennessee State are 0-4 straight up and ATS, courtesy of the playbook in their last four bowl games. Oh, yeah, they've been outscored by their final four of the last four games, 144-75 as well. Love Arkansas State in that game. All right, quickly on Thursday Night Football, train wreck of a football game, Denver and Indy.
My goodness, what a Thursday Night Football game. This is the reason why there shouldn't be Thursday night games in the NFL. Denver and the Colts this late in the football season here. The Broncos have lost 8 straight road games in a row, straight up and against the spread. They've lost their direction away from the Mile High City here. And they're also 0-9-1 against the spread, their final four games of the season, when coming off a dog win. I think the wrong team is favored in this football game here. The Colts have great history. 5-0 straight up in ATS as a host in the series here. I think Indianapolis finds a way to win this football game.
Big basketball game in Philadelphia tonight. Villanova, number one team in the country, laying 8.5 at Temple. So it's not at the Wells Fargo. It's in Temple's barn here this evening. They're getting 8.5. You've got some numbers in the coffee club about this game.
I do. The Temple Owls, really nice. 14-5 to the spread as home dogs when playing with revenge. And you've got the Wildcats coming in, the new number one team in the college basketball polls. This is the second of three straight Philly Five games for Villanova here. This is a bad spot for them to go into Temple. Like you said, that barn is awfully tough. Revenge for the Owls here. I think this game goes right down to the wire.
And I'll tell you what, we got to get out of here. But the Coffee Club's been on fire with the NBA daily notes and daily trends. Clippers 7-0 straight up, 5-2 against the spread last seven games against the Magic. I like Oklahoma City and Paul George's return tonight, and I like to see the fact that Indiana is 3-10 against the spread off double-digit win when facing the Thunder. Boston Celtics 14-7-1 against the spread at home versus the Nuggets. I'll be laying 6 points in that game. And Toronto Raptors laying 11 on the road tonight, guys, against the Phoenix Suns. Phoenix Suns 9-1 against the spread last 10 games versus the Toronto Raptors. We got to get out of here, but you want to win money, check out Mark Lawrence. Playbook.com on your mobile device as well. Go to the Google store to Playbook Cube. Happy bowling, Mark. Thanks for the time.
Hey, my pleasure as always, Game. Be good. I'll catch you next week.
There's Mark Lawrence with us. All right, man. We're talking some NFL DFS. I didn't forget about the NFL. Dalton Deldon steps up and in. Dalton.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Thanks to Mark Lawrence for joining us on the program. We focused in on the college bowl season. And as I stated, I've been telling you guys, you got to be disciplined, man. Don't go crazy on the Auto Nation Cure Bowl. But, yeah, man, screw that. $1,000 on the Auto Nation Cure Bowl. What can go wrong? What could go wrong? Well, I mean, how can anything go wrong betting a Georgia State Western Kentucky game? That's as rock solid as an investment as it comes. But all kidding aside, can't wait for bowl season. We did talk a little NFL with Mark Lawrence, but let's continue on this NFL theme right now from a general perspective and a fantasy perspective. Of course, fantasy football playoffs, DFS, always critical because your money's on the line. Every week's playoffs and DFS. Let's bring in one of my favorite fantasy guys in the industry and one of the best guys in the industry, Dalton Deldon. You can follow him on Twitter, at Dalton Deldon. Yahoo Fantasy Bigwig Dalton Deldon steps up. And what up, Dalton?
How's it going, Gabe? Thanks for having me.
Hey, always a pleasure, Dalton. So let me ask you, buddy, how you doing in the Super Contest? Puncher's chance still?
Yeah, I thought we were totally out of it, but we've gone 3-2, 5-0, and then 3-2 the last 3 weeks, and that gives us 37.5 points. And me and you were just talking off air before we got started here, and I guess that actually gives me more of a chance than I realized. You said obviously we have to have a strong finish, but you know, this far into the year after not such a great start, that's pretty much all I can ask for.
God, dude, the guy in first place only has 48 points right now.
Yeah,
you know, it's amazing that the margin.
It's going to be an intense finish here.
It really is, but the problem is, it's a lot like the NHL standings. Everybody gets a point all the time, so it's hard to catch up to teams.
Right.
Like, there's so many damn people in the contest, Deldon. Like, I'm looking, yeah, we got a puncher's chance if we do well, and I don't know, about 900 other people sort of stumble. With this many people, it's going to be like a golf tournament, man. A lot of the prize pools are going to be shared, dude. It's going to be cut up a lot this year. There's too many people in this contest now. I don't even know if I want to do it next year if it gets to 3,000 people.
Yeah, I know it's grown so much especially over the last few years. I know it's gotten to so much notoriety. The main guy went on Bill Simmons' podcast, and ever since then, it's just gone up and up. And you're right, it becomes too much. Me and you, we've been doing this for a few years. I wouldn't say we're OGs. How long actually have you started? When did you start?
Yeah, I'm not quite OG, but I'm getting there. This is probably about my 7th or 8th kick at the can.
Yeah, that's longer than me for sure. So yeah, people like you have to be kind of frustrated. Although you love to see that prize get so big, but at the same time, too many people.
Let me put it this way, Dalton. The first year I entered, there was 546 people.
Crazy. Yeah. think how much that's changed since 7 years.
Now there's 2,600 this year. 546. I used to walk. I lived right up the street. I used to walk down, put my picks in person. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, Dalton. Me in this super contest, it's a lot like me in drinking. You know, I'm not drinking anymore. I'm done. I'm old. I've already been there. I don't need to do that anymore. I've done it. Every year I say the same thing. Super contest sucks. I got a $1,500 t-shirt. I'm like, you know, there's too many people in it. And every year, come July, August, I'm like, oh, I better go to Vegas to get my entry in.
Yeah, of course. I was going to say, come August, you'll be saying the opposite. So I'm with you. I know I'll pony up as well. And, my wife will give me a hard time, but that's why I got to win one of these years.
Yeah, exactly. One of the one we'll find another contest to try to win. So, Let's talk, speaking of contests, let's try to win some money. Yahoo Fantasy, of course, FanDuel, DraftKings. Now's a great time of the year to cash a check right before the holidays. And I'll tell you, one of my best bets, actually, of the weekend, this weekend, is Russell Wilson, Seattle Seahawks. I think the Rams, I like where the Rams are going, but they remind me of a college team. I just think they're a little raw, undisciplined, bad penalties. They run their mouth after every play. It's musical chairs. There's a lot of good teams in the NFC. Somebody's going to, you know, something's going to have to start to happen where teams start to lose two in a row and three in a row, etc. I think Seattle are in a good bounce-back spot here. And I look at Russell Wilson. The guy's just Superman. What can you say about this guy? You have him ranked as your number one quarterback in fantasy this week, don't you?
Yeah, I do think Tom Brady is going to bounce back because that's just what he does, and that's the highest over-under of the week, that total in Pittsburgh, whose defense has suddenly just looked terrible with, you know, Hayden and Shazier out. So Brady's right there with him, but, I mean, Russell Wilson has accounted for every touchdown for Seattle this season but one. I mean, it's just crazy. He's already set the NFL record for touchdown passes in the fourth quarter by two, and there's still, three games left? Yeah, he's right there in the MVP discussion. Obviously, Wentz is out now. I'm with you. This is my second favorite bet of the week. I know the Rams are ranked number one overall in DVOA, but still, Seattle remains the toughest venue to play. I see them winning this divisional game, so I'm totally with you here. I like Seattle.
Somebody needs to get fired in the copy and editing over at Yahoo right now, because I see a one next to I see a one with your name next to Wilson. It happens, trust me. Okay, so yeah, Tom Brady right here. It's interesting you say this. Tom Brady at times looks old, Dalton, and at other times he's Tom Brady again. Rob Gronkowski, it's pretty clear, isn't it? Like the difference that Gronk means. I mean, he's got Gronk over the middle of the field open all the time. Without Rob Gronkowski the other night against the Dolphins, he looked lost, man, throwing the ball out of bounds, spiking it right away, frustrated. Does Gronkowski make that much of a difference to him? I say yes.
Well, what's interesting is I believe they were 12-0 over the last 12 games without Gronk entering, you know, Monday night. So strange, he certainly did look old, and he certainly did look like he missed him then. I'll tell you that. I expected him coming off a subpar week prior. I expected him to look great, but I know the history in Miami sometimes has been shaky, but it's hard to argue with the performance that week. By the way, both these guys coming back from suspension the same game, Gronk and Juju, a guy I like in DFS this week. New England's given up the most fantasy points to opposers who line up in the slot where he does. Martavis Bryant, man, did you see him have two horrible kick returns?
Yep, shaky.
This doesn't look any good. I mean, Roethlisberger throws for 500 yards, and Bryant gets 33 on like 11 targets. So I'm kind of writing him off. I think Juju goes back to the number two guy there in a shootout. So I like him in DFS. And you could be right about Brady, which would be pretty, I don't want to say funny, but as a guy who's reaping the benefits here, it'd be pretty crazy if he does start looking his age right after they deal Jimmy G, who's the next big thing, by the way.
Yeah, you know, but he looked his age in the AFC Conference Championship game
Sure.
2 years ago against the Broncos when they won the Super Bowl. And then, you know, I've always said it. I think he secretly pulls the Keith Richards, and he's got, like, blood transfusions of, like, nine-year-olds and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's something dark and secret about him. Like, they're cheating in ways we don't even know about, Dalton. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not gonna be the person willing to write him off. Who do you like in that game?
Exactly.
-3 in Pitt.
God, I hate both these teams, man. But look at Pittsburgh. They're not 10-point favorites against the Colts. They win by 3. 14-point favorites against the Packers. They win by 3. 5.5-point favorites against the Bengals. They win by 3. 4.5 is a 6-point favorites against the Ravens. They win by 2. But I don't know. Does that mean that they're overrated or there's something special and they just know how to win? I'm leaning Pittsburgh.
Yeah, no, that's a tough one for me. It's a great game, maybe the game of the year, so that'll be really interesting with what they're playing for the number one seed, I believe.
Exactly. Yeah. If Pittsburgh wins, they all but lock it up. All right, Aaron Rodgers, I see you do have him ranked in the top 10. I don't want to screw this up, so you got him ranked 8th, right, Aaron Rodgers?
I do have him.
Yeah,
yes,
perfect.
That's correct.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
I don't know. What would you do with him? It's really interesting. Also, from a fantasy perspective, especially in season-long leagues, what have you been holding Jordy Nelson on your bench? I mean, he's just been absolutely terrible with Hundley, but obviously Rodgers and him had this great rapport. Didn't get cleared until yesterday, all these screws in his collarbone. But if you have him, he's Aaron Rodgers and what could be a shootout. I really like Cam Newton on the flip side here and Devin Funchess, who's actually dealt with some tough shadow corners, elite corners in the past 3 weeks and has beaten them, emerged ever since Kelvin Benjamin's been dealt. So really like Funchess in DFS. I think this could turn into a shootout as well. But what do you make of the whole Rodgers situation? And would you use Jordy Nelson?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you say that because I got screwed, dude. When Aaron Rodgers went down, I had money on Minnesota in that game. So my initial reaction was like, oh, that's a shame. And then it sort of hit me like 30 seconds later. I'm like, oh, God, I've got Jordy Nelson on my team. I'm like, how is this? Never in a million years, Dalton, I think Jordy would fall off the face of the earth this much with Huntley. I mean, look, Devontae Adams still got his. Like, how did that happen? It's just amazing. Like, he got nothing. No, it's like he doesn't exist. You know, and I tell you, I benched Dak Prescott because he gave me nothing, and then he goes off the other day. I don't even want to get started on this. I tell you, Aaron Rodgers, the guy is God, and man, whatever, he's amazing and all this stuff. I like Carolina in this game. I don't think, and if Green Bay get in the playoffs, God help us all. They're going to the Super Bowl. But, dude, they got to play Carolina. They got to play Minnesota. They got to play Detroit. It's not happening. I think Carolina's defense is so salty. They're going to give Aaron Rodgers some problems. This isn't a Disney movie. I think Carolina beats them, Dalton.
Yeah, Devontae Adams is really interesting, by the way. 2 years ago, he had, like, the lowest yards per target in the NFL, and that was with Aaron Rodgers in his prime.
And everybody loved him. Remember, he was way drafted, and everyone hated Devontae Adams. Yeah. Oh, he sucks. He's overrated. Remember that?
Absolutely, and then he was great. We're really good last year, and now with horrible quarterback throwing to him is you know totally outshined Nelson. So it's really been a weird career for him. But this is an interesting game, another good one. I could see Carolina pulling this out, and we'll see. I'm just really curious with Rodgers' health because you're right. They could obviously make a deep run. I'm very upset with them personally because we had the Browns in the Super Contest. Oh. I thought heading into overtime at worst that would have been a push, but what a horrible way to lose that one.
Yeah, that was brutal. All right, we've only got a minute left. I always love talking to you. There's a ton of stuff I'd like to get to. Quickly on this, LeSean McCoy went off in the snow last week. You get this Miami Dolphin defense. Holy crap. You know, the Denver Broncos were 1 for 13 on third down conversions. The New England Patriots were 0 for 11. That's unbelievable. So it's 1 to 24 last. They've held opponents 1 to 24 success rate on third down conversions. Suddenly the Dolphins are back in the playoff picture. They go up to Buffalo right now. That quarterback situation's up in the air. Hell, it might end up being Joe Webb, but from what I understand, Tyrod Taylor will be good to go. I don't know if he's 100%, but is LeSean McCoy a must-play again this week? Do you think he lights it up again?
Yeah, I'm curious what the weather's going to be like with the Florida team coming in there. But, yeah, he's just such a bell cow. He gets all the touches there. I agree with you. It looks like Tyrod Taylor is going to play, which should help McCoy. So he's got to be considered a top-five fantasy back just based on volume. And he has huge, huge home road splits dating back to last year, too.
All right, before we get you out of here, I follow you on Twitter, and a little bit of optimism right now with the Greek god that has arrived, Jimmy Garoppolo.
I've been a little over the top of my tweets. Some guys don't get my sarcasm and really go off. But I actually do like them again. I think Vegas has been slow to adjust the spreads. I liked them last week. They're my best bet this week, giving less than 3 to that fraudulent Titans team. It's not just Jimmy G, but their defense has quietly gotten a little bit healthier and not quite the doormat they weren't earlier this season. And, man, Mariota,
wow.
3 touchdowns, 11 picks on the road this season. He's been a disaster.
Wow. I've been a Mariota backer in fantasy and in reality. And next year, man, it's gut check time for this kid. He's going to have to step it up. And at some point in time, you got to start making plays. We got to get out of here, Dalton. It's always a pleasure. Check out Dalton's rankings. You can follow him on Twitter. He's got the links. Check out Yahoo Fantasy. Let's go over to the football page. Dalton's all over the place. Thanks, Dalton.
Thanks for having me.
There's Dalton Deldon. Always a pleasure. Thanks for taking your time to be with us. All right. What do we got now? What do we got? The King. We go from Dalton Deldon to the King. We save the best for last. The King, Scott Engel, coming up next.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. Let's bring in a man that we don't have on the program enough, but we got very, very polar opposite schedule. Scott's now on in the really early morning hours. I believe 6 a.m. Now, Fantasy Sports Today. and he's been doing some great interviews as well as of late. And it's funny, I was just talking about Bernard King the other day when I was talking about growing up in Montreal. I didn't have an NBA team, so I was more of a fan of players. And of course, you know, how can you not be a fan of Dr. J in that era? But Bernard King, New York Knicks, is one of my all-time favorites as well. He's been interviewing, you know, current NBA players, Tyreek Evans, and the Memphis Grizzlies lately. Scott the King Engel joins us. Scott, always a pleasure, man. How you doing?
Oh, good. Thanks for having me, man. That was a real pleasure to interview Bernard on the Fantasy Hall of Fame Hour on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You can still listen to it on demand. He's got a new book out, Game Face, about his career. It's very, very intense.
I tell you what, it's funny. I love talking to the old guys, too. You know, in the pre-fantasy days. So Bernard King is a fantasy player. You know, what would he be? You know, he'd be pretty damn good, wouldn't he?
He would. I remember I used to play Strat-O-Matic basketball around then. And Bernard was a four shooter, which is the highest rating.
That's hardcore, old school. Love that. All right. So, you know, that's the favorite part of my gig. Recently, in the last few months or so, we've been really caught up in games and fantasy and DFS and picks. But I love the long form interview and talking to athletes and getting stories from the old days. So let me ask you about not the past, but the future. What are you expecting from Aaron Rodgers? I just spoke with Dalton Deldon about this a little bit, and we both seem to be looking at it as the cup is half empty more than half full against this salty Carolina Panther defense.
Yeah, I don't think they've been that salty recently. You know, offense has been able to attack them, and it's Aaron Rodgers. He's matchup proof, and I don't know why you would see it as half empty. The Packers are not going to risk their franchise player and not bring him back before he's ready. You know, they don't want something to happen in 2015, like when the Cowboys brought back Tony Romo too early, and he re-injured the collarbone. So this is their franchise player. You know, they're not going to bring him back before he's ready. And Carolina's secondary has been more vulnerable over the past week than past few weeks than the overall numbers indicate.
Yeah, you know, you're right. You can move the ball on them, but they also hit you pretty hard as well. And you're right. They're not going to risk. Obviously, he's ready to go. I mean, they're not going to throw him out there. You know, he's been working out for the past 4 to 6 weeks. There is a precedent here. Aaron Rodgers came back for the regular season finale in 2013 after breaking his left clavicle in week 9, and he threw for 318 yards in a playoff-clinching victory. I think Carolina is peaking right now. You know, I'm not saying that Rodgers is going to be terrible, but I'm not playing him in DFS. And, in fact, from a betting perspective, I think Carolina beats them, Scott.
I think Carolina's got the better team, and it has nothing to do with Rodgers, really. I just don't think that Green Bay defense is very good at all. And even in the preseason, I was saying people are predicting the Packers are going to the Super Bowl and just looking at quarterbacks and not what complete teams need to take to win the Super Bowl. You have to have a running game, a defense, and a quarterback, just not a quarterback. You know, that being said, Aaron Rodgers is going to get his, even if Carolina wins this game.
All right, so we've got a massive football game with the Rams and the Seahawks. And, you know, obviously you're a big Seahawk fan. You know, 2 weeks ago they beat Philadelphia on Sunday Night Football. Last Sunday they have to go into Jacksonville. I thought it was a bad spot for them. I think this is a good spot for them right now after an emotional game for the Rams last week in which the Goff fumble late cost them the football game. The Rams have been a great team this year, coming in at 9-4, but they're very young and they're raw, they're undisciplined, they take penalties at bad times, they extend drives. You know, they're showing cracks to me, the Rams. And, you know, you talk about Aaron Rodgers being matchup proof. To me, after Tom Brady, Russell Wilson's the best. I like Russell Wilson better than Aaron Rodgers. You know, to me, Russell Wilson's like Michael Jordan, right? The guy's on another level of just insanity. And I think Russell Wilson pretty much puts the Seahawks on his back here and wills them to victory. Wilson's thrown for 17 touchdowns, just one interception during fourth quarters of games this year, which is an NFL record, guys. Russell Wilson, 14-1 straight up, 11-3-1 against the spread at home with the Seahawks coming off a loss, including 6-0 straight up and against the spread in the second half of the season. But I ask you, what's the status with Bobby Wagner? Have you heard anything? Because they can only afford to lose so many more of these vets here, Scott, on defense.
Yeah, Wagner's going to be a game-time decision, Carroll was saying yesterday. You know, and KJ Wright, we're not sure about him either. The Seahawks have done a pretty good job without Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor. The defense has gone from excellent to pretty good, I think. You know, front seven still very good. But if they're missing Wagner and Wright as well, it's going to be very, very tough. But I think the game could go either way because the Seahawks are still at home. They still have Russell Wilson, who I agree is great. I just don't think I would put him ahead of Rodgers, just maybe like a small notch behind. You know, that'd make a good debate for another day.
Same amount of Super Bowl wins. I'm giving you
what's that?
Same amount of Super Bowl rings.
Yeah, same amount of Super Bowl victories. I think Aaron Rodgers is maybe just a little bit better as a pure passer, but we could probably debate it all day. You know, there's no quarterback in the league like Russell Wilson. No,
yeah.
Nobody else has his playing style. But I think Aaron Rodgers is a little bit better of a pure passer, though. I'll concede that. But this game could go either way because the Seahawks are at home. They have Wilson, but I think the Rams might be the better team right now overall because of all the Seahawk injuries. But I think to the detriment of the Rams, just about every time Jared Goff has faced a really good defense, he hasn't come up quite as big. It's like he takes advantage of a good matchup, but I'm not sure how Jared Goff is going to perform in this environment in a big-time game.
All right, a lot of people, we've only got a couple of minutes left, but, you know, people are sort of split on the, you know, Johnny Jackass public. It's like, oh, Nick Foles sucks. The Eagles are screwed. Yet, you know, sharp bettors and Las Vegas odds makers really didn't move the Eagles that much, Scott. To put it in perspective, the Philadelphia Eagles were plus 300, 3-1 favorites to win the NFC before the injury, with the Vikings being like plus 350, 4-1 right behind them. They just switched spots. Like, the Eagles are still the second choice, according to the Las Vegas odds makers, to win the NFC right now. You know, and I said this a couple of times this week. If you put Nick Foles on the Cleveland Browns right now, yeah, he's going to be average. You put Nick Foles on the Arizona Cardinals, yeah, he's Nick Foles. He's surrounded by a freaking hell of a lot of talent right now with the Philadelphia Eagles. Which side of the argument are you on here with Nick Foles? End of the world, or they're going to be fine?
I don't think they're going to be fine when it comes to the playoffs. I think Carson Wentz elevated some of that talent. Nick Foles is just a so-so, ho-hum kind of replacement. He's not the worst and he's not the best, but, you know, in the playoffs, you know, as anybody gave, you know, when you need a game-winning drive in the playoffs or a big play,
yeah,
you're not going to count on Nick Foles. I don't think the Eagles are winning the NFC without Carson Wentz, who's just a special player, and Nick Foles is not. I think it comes down to the Saints, and I think it comes down to the Vikings. The Saints have the most complete team, I think, with running game defense and a veteran quarterback. But if Case Keenum can continue this kind of run in the postseason and show he's just not some journeyman backup who was backing up Jared Goff last year, then the Vikings are going to be tough to beat. But I don't know. With Keenum in the playoffs, I'm still wary of if you need a game-winning drive or a big play, can that guy do it, or is he going to throw an interception? I think I'm going back to saying the Saints are the best team in the NFC.
Scott the King Engel, check him out, 6 a.m., Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Anytime, bro.
There's Scott the King Engel. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with our plays of the day.
Hey, fantasy nerds, here's a question for you. What do mozzarella sticks and the Fantasy Sports Radio Network have in common? They're both awesome apps. But seriously, download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app right now and get all your favorite shows and fantasy advice at the touch of a tiny icon on your screen. Snapchat and Instagram aren't going to help you win a fantasy football title, but the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app will. So go get it now on Google Play and iTunes.
All right, guys, it's time for our plays of the day, and we've got a lot of them, man. Let's start off in the National Basketball Association. Paul George returns to Indianapolis for the first time. A longtime Pacer. Oladipo's been freaking killing it, man. The guy's averaging like 24 points a game. Paul George is averaging 20 points a game, but Oklahoma City are struggling right now. I think Oklahoma City get it done tonight as one-point underdogs, and let's play a little prop. Paul George's first game back you know, man, that Westbrook's going to feed him the rock. Boston Celtics, we're going to lay the 6 with the Celtics. We're going to lay the 2.5 with the Miami Heat. 2.5 with the Pelicans as well. Can't give you reasons. Too many picks. Chicago Bulls, the reason, they're hot. Suns, 9-1 against the spread last 10 times against the Raptors. I'm a Raptor fan, man, but I don't want to be laying 11 on the road. Raptors Suns over 221.5. Hornets Rockets, let's go over 220.5. NCAA basketball. Temple are getting 8.5. I'll buy the half point. Let's make it 9 against Villanova. Western Kentucky getting 6 on the road at Wisconsin. The Badgers are a train wreck this year. Give me the Hilltoppers, and we'll wrap it up. NHL, we're going to combine all the games into one. Grand Salami. Call your local deli. Tell them you want the Grand Salami. Grand Salami means over under goals. I say it'll be less than 23.5 goals scored tonight combined in all the NHL games. Other than that, you're on your own, mate. The winners be yours.